Welcome to the PreparedX Podcast, your complete source for crisis, emergency, business continuity, and security preparedness interviews, news, and much more. Now, your host, he creates chaos for a living, Rob Burton.
Hello, and welcome to episode 17 of the PreparedX podcast. In this one, I will be providing you with 5 security tips for the business traveler. Now, these tips are also useful for the non-business traveler. So if you're traveling for pleasure or with your family, going on holiday, whatever you may be doing, this information is very useful. But we do focus a little bit on the business traveler here. So there's some good information in here. It's really important when you travel to a foreign environment. And when I say foreign environment, that may be within your own country, maybe just a different part of the city or a different city that you've never been to before. Or it may be overseas, it may be a different country, totally foreign environment altogether. So it really depends where you're going to in terms of that foreign environment, as I like to call it. And so you may be traveling on business for your corporation. You may be part of a government group, or you may be a non-government organization. Whatever it is, they have, as an organization, they have a duty, what's known as duty of care. And you may have heard that before, that phrase. So that's basically a responsibility to safeguard employees or those that represent their entities while traveling. And so typically you may be given some briefings beforehand. Some organizations provide a fair amount of detail, readings as well as email notifications on travel, depending on where those individuals are going. For high threat places, there may be more training provided, more detailed training, and some of that training may be physical training in terms of what to do in various situations, and we'll touch on a few of those in this podcast. So it really depends, but the organization does have a duty of care to make sure that you're prepared for when you travel to that location, while you're in that location, and while you're traveling back from that location. And so we're going to touch on 5 tips for those types of individuals who are traveling, and you may be one of them. So the five areas we're going to cover, first one is pre-travel planning. So that's all the research that you can do prior to leaving. Second one will be situational awareness. So we can talk a little bit in there about how do we detect surveillance? How do we detect things that are in and around our environment that maybe are a threat to us? So we'll talk a little bit about situational awareness. The third one is the in-country safety. So when we arrive at the location where we're going, the transportation, the accommodations, all of those different environments provide an opportunity for the hostiles to either attack or try and get your information or whatever it may be, whatever their agenda might be. We'll talk some more detail about that specific in-country safety. And then the last two we'll touch on a kind of combined really, but we separate them down into information protection. So how do we protect our data while we're traveling, as well as finally espionage awareness. So you know, when we're overseas, we've got to be aware that when we land in another country, we make the assumption, or if you try and think each time you land in a new country, that someone is trying to either get your information, your intellectual property, or they're trying to coerce you in some kind of way. If you start to think like that, then that provides awareness of your surroundings, both digital surroundings, but also obviously your physical surroundings. So we'll get into a little bit more detail about each one of these. So the first one then, as I mentioned before, is really that pre-planning phase. And this can be done fairly easily if you don't have a security department that provides you with that data. If you're traveling with an organization that doesn't have those resources, then certainly there's no excuses for you not to go online and look at various different resources. Some governments provide that information as various government websites with what's going on in different different parts of the world. And so check with your local government for that information. But as well, go online and research what's going on in those environments. And this will really help you come up with a better idea of how to travel to that place, travel within that place, and make sure you're secure as well as once leaving there. So think about the following. And again, I touch on about five or six, actually about nine things here to think about. The political climate is one of the first ones. So what's going on politically in that country that you're going to at the moment? Is there a lot going on within the government? Are there factions of the government that are protesting? You know, what's going on politically is good to find out that. Social issues specific to that environment that you're flying into. If there's a city that has specific social issues at that particular time, it's good to have an idea of what those social issues are and whereabouts those social issues in particular are taking place. Obviously, criminal issues. Take a look online and see what's happened in the recent months in the build-up to your trip to that location. Find out what kind of criminal activities take place within that country, or again, that foreign environment that you're going to. That's always good to have an understanding of the types of events that happen and kind of generally where they happen, parts of the city that you may not want to travel to, or parts of the country that you may need to avoid. But again, you may not be able to avoid them depending on why you're traveling to that location or where you have to be within that location. Organized crime, the types of organized crime, that's another one, a good one to look up to see what's going on from a kidnap and ransom standpoint. Is that a problem in those countries or country that you're about to visit? The terrorist groups that operate in that environment, are there any? If there are, you know, where do they operate? How do they operate? What kind of events or attacks do they typically carry out? So that's, again, good information to have because different countries have different challenges with different terrorist organizations. So take a look at that. Natural disasters is a good one to look into as well. So are you flying to a city that sits on a fault line or a town or a part of the world that's more likely to be impacted by some kind of natural disaster that could impact the hotel that you're staying in, and so just think about natural disasters and the types of events that may have happened in those places before that again could impact you while you're in those locations. Life support. So, you know, what kind of emergency services are available in those locations? Do they have, do you have good access to hospitals, good access to emergency medical services? You know, how good are those services? Are they readily available? Are you a long way from the nearest hospital? So just do a little bit of research into that because that will give you a good idea again of what to expect. You know, the law enforcement as well, you know, is the policing good in that city? So all information will help you really have at least a sense of what you may be up against if and only if you may require to use any of those services. Transportation is a good one, and so look into the different modes of public transportation. Look into the types of transportation you may be required to take. You may be renting a vehicle, and that's fine. But what about if your vehicle breaks down and you do need to use public transport? What if there's other situations where you need to fly within a country? The international flight coming in was fine, but now you need to make your way onto a local provider within the country. So what are the types of challenges around different modes of transportation? And then navigation. So think about, we're so used to GPS, relying on our phones, relying on the GPS that we get provided with our rental vehicles. But what if all that breaks down? What if you can't navigate to your location because of a problem with your digital GPS or phone? Is there an opportunity for you to, when you get to the airport, to at least pick up one of those maps? Often many cities or places where you land and pick up a rental vehicle, or even in the airport, you can often get a local map, which may help you, again, as a backup in case your digital navigation assets break down. So certainly a number of individual things to think about there. The next thing to think about as well, what's the religious climate? What's the labor stability, economic strength of the country you're going to? I think we've touched on health and public safety. And then, you know, as I mentioned before, are there certain locations within the country or within the city that you're flying to that should be avoided? And so certainly start to think about those locations as you go into those different environments. And so that's the pre-planning. And then maybe other factors as well. And again, if you're working for a corporation or another entity, find out what advice they provide you. And you know, they probably have procedures for you to follow in terms of documenting when you're going, where you're going, how long you're going to be. If they don't have anything like that, or you don't work for a company that does that, but you are traveling on business, you certainly need to alert somebody and have some kind of plan. And you know, when you put a travel plan together, some of these considerations may be put into your plan. So where you're going, what hotel, you know, telephone numbers for the hotel. I'll cover a number of other things to do with the plan as we go through this. As we go through this podcast, but start to document a number of these details, because it's very important that we, you know, we at least put these details down into some kind of plan that will help someone find us if we need to be found, or it will help someone track us if we need to be tracked. And so, actually, while we're talking about the plan, I'll touch on some of the things that should be in the plan. Obviously, the date of travel and the schedule, where you're going to be at what time, the hotel, the destination, where is the hotel located, communication protocol. So how are you going to communicate within the country to whoever you're traveling with or whoever you're traveling for? And then outside of the country, who are you going to email? Is it going to be an email every day? Is it going to be a phone call every day to let people know where you are? So think about how you're going to do that, and that needs to be in your plan as well. It's important that you put the phone numbers in there if your cell phone doesn't work in that country, but also have a backup. So, you know, hotel telephone number is really important. Make sure the numbers are in there, or any offices that you're going to visit or businesses, make sure you have contact information, and even names as well. If you're traveling with other people, or if you're traveling to see someone specific, provide those names and details as well. That's really important. Your room number upon arrival. So if you're staying in a hotel, it's, you know, I think that's another important detail that you can update your plan, and you can let people know that, look, I'm on the fourth floor and I'm in room 427, whatever it may be. Embassy information. So do you need contact, if you need to contact the embassy for any reason, put that in your plan. And so that's always good information to have as a final, you know, desperate measure. If you've got nothing else, you've lost your passport, you know, the hotel's had a fire or something's happened where you've lost your information, and you know where the embassy is because you've done your research. So you make your way to the embassy and you have a contact there. But that information within the plan is really important, within the travel plan. Last couple of things, the form of identification. So if you have two passports, if you don't, it's a good idea to look into getting a second passport. So I have a second passport. I travel with my main passport, and then I have a backup passport, because if my main passport gets stolen or gets lost for some reason wherever I'm traveling to, I can easily pick up the phone, call back to my office, and they can send me my second passport, so I can actually get out of the place where I am, and then obviously deal with the lost or stolen identification at a later time. So that's really important. Or at very minimum, make sure you've got photocopies of your passport. So if somebody needs to go and get you a new passport, then they can easily go and do that. So just be aware of that. And then just think about the other types of identification that you may be traveling with, for instance, your driver's license. Again, if this is in the plan, this will help people if they need to help you while you're away. And the last thing is a contingency plan for, you know, again, certain parts of the world more so than others, but a backup communication plan. So if you do, again, lose, or your cell phone gets lost or broken or stolen or whatever it may be, that you have some kind of backup plan to be able to communicate. And then, you know, one of the other things you may want to consider, again, depending on the environment you're going to, is, you know, how would I get home if I needed to? If it was an emergency situation, something went wrong, and I very quickly needed to gather my belongings and get out of this environment. Again, could be for any, you know, natural disaster, could be for some other event, terrorist related, or something that you've not even thought or planned for. So what's your contingency plan? So these are all good things to put in your on your plan before you leave. If you don't have a plan and you don't want to go through that process, at least have a thought process in place. At least go through your planning in your head to say, okay, I've done my research. I know what I'm going to do because I've been through and I've researched all I need to research before going into this environment. So that's the first step, the first one. I'm going to the second one now, and I'll go through these. Probably spend about 5 minutes on each, but we certainly do provide a lot more information on this through one of our e-learning courses, which is available on preparedx.net. I'll provide some more information at the end for this particular course. So the second part then is situational awareness. And so what is situational awareness? It's really closely monitoring what's going on around you in what may be a complex and dynamic environment. And complex meaning it may be new to you, dynamic maybe it's a fast-paced environment that you're simply not used to because you've never been there before. So that's really how we describe situational awareness. And so when you start to think about that, we like to look at different situations, different scenarios that you may be presented with while you're traveling. So one of those may be, am I being followed? And so how do you know you're being followed? Do you get that sense that you're being followed? Or have you seen the same person for the last three or four blocks? And that person, when you take a right turn, is still with you, behind you, on the other opposite side of the street, or whatever it may be. Do you get that sense that you're being followed? So that's one situation. Again, that may be vehicles as well. So don't just think about when you're walking around from A to B, but also in a vehicle as well. Have I seen that car before? I think that car's been behind me now for several miles and we've taken several turns. I think that's unusual, so I'm a little bit suspicious of that. So what do you do then if you're being followed? So think about how to get back safely. Do you go to the nearest safest place? That might be an office block. You may not want to go to an office to expose the office or who you are. You may want to go back to the hotel, or you may want to go and report the vehicle or individuals that are following you. So think about having a plan of what to do if you feel like you're being followed. You know, in certain parts of the world, there are certain individuals who will get dressed and look like a law enforcement officer or some kind of other official. It's a common tactic used in various parts of the world, and you may believe that they're an official government employee, and they may be looking to either rob you or get some other kind of information out of you. So it's a tactic that has traditionally been used very successfully. Carjackings in certain parts of the world, more so than others. So, carjackings happen typically when you pull to a stop at a red light or some kind of stop sign intersection, and quite often they can be very fast, impactful situations where guns are pointed in your face, and you very quickly need to make some decisions on what to do. And then there may be advanced scenarios, again depending on the environment you're going to. If you're going to a really complex environment that is a high threat area, then you may need some more training for those environments. You may need training for car bomb threats. You may need training for illegal checkpoints, other situations where you may need to leave the vehicle quickly and then you'll be on foot. Then what do you do? Or you may need to get out of those situations in the vehicle. So have you had advanced driver training? So again, all dependent on what environment that you're going to be in. But situational awareness is a really important aspect of your travel. And so the fourth one that, or the third one I'm going to talk about is the in-country safety. And I touched on some of it at the beginning there. But, you know, when you arrive at the airport, it's a really critical moment because you may have traveled several hours or you may have traveled even longer. Some parts of the Far East from the U.S. where I'm stationed could take, 24 hours to get to. And so when you get off the airplane, you're tired. All you want to do is get your bag and get to the hotel and sleep. Well, that's really important that you stay really alert at that moment in time because that's when you land, that's when other people are looking at you, and that's when typically surveillance may start. If somebody knows you're arriving in that country, it's a good place to pick up on an individual. And again, this could be for a number of reasons. It could be simply the thief who's looking to steal your luggage. It could be someone else with more sinister agenda to steal your information or certainly potentially kidnap you. So that's a really important environment when you get your bags and you come out and then you pick up your transportation. That's a really important part. You've got to be alert at all times and have your wits about you, really. And there's lots more information on other considerations in the airport as well. But you can look at those if you go to the course I mentioned, which I'll provide more details at the end. Accommodation safety. So the hotel that you're going to, is it another accommodation? Is it a smaller hotel? Is it a boutique hotel? Is it a large brand? You know, how are you going to get out of the hotel? What floor are you on in the hotel? Are you a ground floor? Are you on a middle floor, an upper floor? You know, where's the nearest exit? So all these things, you have a lock on the inside of your bathroom door in case you needed to go in there. Do you travel with, a lot of people now will travel with a doorstop. Again, just that extra piece of security for you. So if somebody does want to come through the door for whatever reason, that you're given a few more seconds or a few more minutes maybe because you've got that simple doorstep that you've pushed under the door to try and prevent them breaking down that door may help. And so lots to think about in terms of the accommodation. Transportation, public transportation when you're in country. Is it good? Should I take it? Should I use taxis? What taxis should I use? Is there transportation provided for me? Typically, a lot of corporations that travel may have a transportation company that they use all the time. So think about the transportation. The last thing I'll touch on, the last two things within this section, one is the grab bag. So the grab bag is a small backpack or some other bag that you have available to you that you carry, it's available in your accommodation to pick up quickly and be able to leave. And maybe this is a bag that you carry with you to your meetings as well. And so that would have some essentials in there in case you can't get back to your hotel or in case you need to leave your hotel or accommodation quickly. And you won't be able to go back there. Again, it could be a simple fire that impacts the hotel and you just didn't have time in the middle of the night when it was dark, the fire alarms were going off and you didn't have time to put your suitcase back together, but you had to leave very quickly. Well, if you've got a grab bag with your identification in, a change of clothing maybe, you may have small medical kit in there that you carry with you. I know a fair amount of people carry some personal medication with them as well. You may have a simple map in there or some other small things such as water or some snacks as well. So in case you need to just go somewhere for several hours or you need to be out of that room for a period of time before you figure out what you're going to do. So a grab bag is really important. It's certainly helped me in certain environments over the years. Cultural awareness is the last thing, is think about where you're going to. Think about when you go into those environments about how you're going to blend into those environments so you don't stick out. Be familiar with local laws and customs and try and adhere to them. So you don't stick out. Make sure that, if you've got a camera and you want to take photographs, but people are sensitive to that, just be careful where you take photographs. I know there was a recent place we went to by the border. We were in India, but we're by the border in Pakistan, and somebody we were traveling with took some photographs out of the window of some jets that were landing. That were military jets, and an individual on the plane who was in plain clothes, but identified himself as a military Indian military person, was not happy about the individual who was taking the photographs, and it caused a little bit of friction for a little period of time. It worked out to be okay, but so just be cautious of your environment when you're traveling, and just be considerate, obviously, of those different cultures that you may be in. Okay, the fourth one here, almost done here. Fourth one we're going to discuss is information. And how is it stolen? So, as we mentioned before, you may be traveling with a laptop, you may be traveling with presentations, you may be traveling with other individuals that are carrying data that to the adversary, and again, if there's a thief or if this is someone who is working for another government that's trying to steal your information, or a criminal gang that's, again, looking to profit from this, your information is really important. So think about how you're going to protect it. Think about the information you're carrying on your laptop. Do you need to take your laptop that you use every day at work? Or could you carry a clean laptop? Some organizations will send their employees overseas with a clean laptop with just the information they need for that trip. Same with your phone. It's exactly the same. Can you access all your information back at your company through your phone? And is it a risk going to the country that you're going to or the place that you're going to by having all that information and access to your networks through your phone? So if it's not, and if there's an opportunity to take a clean phone or a clean laptop with you with just the information that you need for that trip, then that's certainly highly recommended. So, and there are many other things to think about as well in airports, the various different things that could happen in an airport. There's one report that has been done in the past, and I believe it was 12,000 laptops a week are stolen or lost in U.S. airports. So I did some research on that, and I forget the institute that did that, but there was a study done, and that was the number that they identified. So that's a tremendous amount of data that's either lost or stolen. And then in terms of that information, think about, what is the use of you having that information in that environment. If it's important to you, then, you know, do I need to take my laptop with me to dinner? And so we often see people traveling, certainly government officials as well, they'll be at the dinner table with a backpack with their laptop in it. And so, and that's important because, you know, sometimes the safes in the hotels are not as safe as people think they are. And so people don't like to leave the laptops behind, or in some cases, it's a simple fact of the laptop's too big to fit in the safe. But also people know that they can't have those laptops out of their sight while they're at dinner or while they're out somewhere else. So they always take them with them. So that's a consideration as well in terms of being able to protect that information. Okay, so the last one we'll go on to here. So tip number five that we're going to discuss is espionage awareness. Okay, so again, when you get into that country, there may be opportunities for an adversary. And again, this could be somebody working for the government within that country. It could be a criminal gang, whoever it may be. They may want your information, and that may be information that you tell them. So you may have someone that approaches you, or a friendly driver that you've got for the week all of a sudden becomes very friendly and starts to ask you a little bit more information. So what company are you with? Why are you here? Where are you going to be going while you're here? So, and they build that trust with you. And again, that could be somebody in the hotel. That could be somebody, again, who's driving you around. It could be somebody else who's, got to know you while you've spent a few days in that environment. So just be careful, because And it's very common that if somebody is looking for that information, that they may be able to build a relationship with you and gather more information from you than you realize. And so just be hesitant of that. So mobile phones and intercepting information that's on mobile phones, that's something that could be a problem for organizations as well. We mentioned the information protection in the last section. So think about what's on your phone. Hotel intrusions, one of the ones a recent blog that Mike did from PreparedX that spoke about the Wi-Fi within the hotel lobby. And so it looks like a hotel lobby Wi-Fi, but actually it's somebody sat in the lobby with a little box in his or her bag, and you log into that, what appears to be the Wi-Fi, the internet in the lobby Wi-Fi, and actually you're going into a box that's compromising your system. So again, I'm not a technical expert on that, but that's certainly a common tactic that is used in hotel lobbies, again, for where information wants to be stolen. So just be careful of that, because I think most hotels I've ever been to, in this day and age, offer that lobby free Wi-Fi. So it's very commonplace for people to access that. So just be careful of that. And then there were many other things to think about as well on the physical and electronic surveillance side. We spoke about being followed before, so just think about that, and just think about the other electronic surveillance. You don't need to announce on Twitter where you're traveling to. You don't need to announce on Facebook, where you're going to and what you're going to be doing, because that again, could potentially provide those individuals that want to do you harm, or those adversaries that are looking for information. And provide them a starting point of where to follow you, where to be in terms of trying to get a hold of your information or your organization's information. So anyway, we just skipped over, only briefly, really, those five security tips. There's a much more information in a course that we provide, and that course can be found on preparedx.net. And if you go to our e-learning section menu in there, you'll find the travel security course. And so go in there and take a look at that course. It will provide you with some great information. It only takes about an hour and 15 minutes to get through, but it will provide you with a tremendous amount of information. I believe also in there is a travel plan that you can download and fill out. So if you don't have a travel plan for when you go away, there's a document in there that will allow you to make your own travel plan. And so there's some really good information with regards to that. And of course, you can get a PreparedX certificate for taking that course. So that's always good. Okay, so that's it for episode 17 of the PreparedX podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, have a safe and enjoyable day wherever you may be. Thank you.